Hey, Preds fans, don't miss Smashville Live tonight, Tin Roof on Broadway. Exclusive Predators player shows. Tonight's special guests will be Cody McLeod and Kyle Turris. Come out there to Tin Roof on Broadway tonight. Don't forget you can listen to it also right here on 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you. Let's head up to Philly. Rhea Hughes, WIP. She's in the mornings. She's been there a long time. Been dealing with Rhea. She's great. Rhea, how you doing?
Hey, Darren. How are you? Hey, Willie.
Wonderful. Have you been there 20 years?
I celebrated my 20th anniversary in August, and I started when I was 10.
Nice.
That is a great answer. We had last week the Predators were playing Edmonton here, and it was the NBC Sports Network, so it was the nationally televised game, and Brian Boucher was here, and he came over to the desk and joined us. We were doing the show at the arena, and he told me during the break that Keith Jones, I didn't know this, Keith Jones, I guess, is on the
Jones,
on the morning
part,
show
been
with
part of our show for a long time as well, probably 15, 16 years.
Really?
Plus,
I didn't know that.
I have, yes. Yep.
What is it, a couple days a week?
Yeah, 2 days a week. The great story about Jonesy is, you know, he was forced into retirement, unfortunately had many knee surgeries. He was bored, and he started hanging out with us. You know, that's, if you want to get into the media side of business as a former player, get bored and go hang out at your local radio station. Now he's a huge star, so it's pretty funny.
That's great.
That is a great story. Now, Titans, we certainly had to change course on Monday for the show, right before the show. About a half hour to an hour before we went on the air, the Titans made the announcement that they had parted ways with head coach Mike Mularkey. So they're now into a coaching search, and a couple of guys on the Eagles staff, their OC and quarterbacks coach, are on that list. And we're not sure if the list is short or if the list is long, but it seems like they have surfaced on the Titans list. What can you tell us about Frank Reich, the OC? Obviously, we remember him as a player. He had two historical comebacks as a quarterback
yes,
in college and the NFL. But how's he been as the OC? Let's start there.
Well, it was funny. I did make this point, Darren. You and I have talked a long time, and you know I was never an Andy Reid fan. The Titans thought so little of the win over Andy Reid that they still let Mike Mularkey go. So I was amused by that. Frank Reich, it's really hard to tell because Doug Peterson calls the plays. So it's a little bit more difficult. That room has worked really well together with Doug Peterson, Frank Reich, DeFilippo, obviously, with Wentz being there and how good he's able to do. But it's hard. They always talk about that they collaborate and put the game plan together and during the week. But it's much like Peterson when he was with Andy Reid, although Andy said his last year in Kansas City, Peterson was calling the plays from maybe week 10 on. It's just hard to figure out how critical he is to it just because he doesn't call it on game day where we maybe have a better idea of how much input he has.
Yeah, that's the tricky part, and I've brought this up many times on the show. I would not want to be in the GM spot because it's your job to figure that. It's like the Rams OC. He's on the list too, but I don't know. How much is that Sean McVay? How much is that is the OC? I always wonder, like, what's the dynamic if you have a head coach – and his coordinator and the head coach has always been linked to that side of the ball. How much does he have his hands all and his fingerprints all over the playbook?
But if you want to do the blueprint, none of us thought Doug Peterson would work out.
Okay.
We were all quite wrong on that, obviously, in year two. You know, a guy who was a backup quarterback, like, you know, Frank Reich, although Frank played a little bit more, but, you know, and was the offensive coordinator, was never a head coach at any level above high school so far. But it also works out really well when you have a great quarterback, which I think you do have there. Has he been in the right system? Has it worked out for him yet? And maybe that's what they're looking at by looking at Frank Reich, by looking at DeFilippo. Look what the Eagles were able to do with a guy in Wentz, and can that same turnaround happen for you guys? So in the positives, that's one way to look at it.
Are they both ready? Are they ready for that next step? Are they both equipped? And in your mind, you're around them. We're not. Are they equipped to be head coaches? It's a different role.
I'd like to tell you, DeFilippo is not, because I'd really like him to stay. So,
okay.
But from everybody who's talked to him, from the interviews he's had, I think he's ready to have a second interview with the Cardinals. People think this guy is real ready to be a head coach. It's a jump. Andy Reid was never a coordinator and made the jump when he came to Philadelphia, when he first time he came around. that's the guy I hear way more about than I hear about Frank Reich. Again, I feel bad for Frank Reich because it's hard to figure out what he's doing. We've seen what, you know, that the Eagles were able to take a guy from North Dakota, although, you know, everybody thought very highly of this kid, obviously second pick. But people think very highly of DeFilippo. That's the guy that I hear that people think is most ready to take the step.
Rhea Hughes on the line with us, WIP in Philadelphia. Do you guys have to wear a dog mask for your show this week, or how does that work?
You know, it was fun. To me, it was a fun thing that, you know, whatever motivates players is great, and being a historic underdog as a number one seed, you know, I think, look, we're all, you know, adult enough to go, well, Wentz isn't there anymore, so, you know, we understood it. But the players, whatever motivation they want to take, I don't want to take something that, to me, too much seems like the dog pound, because that's not a good connection to make, you know, with Cleveland. So the players can do that. Although I think there are going to be tons of dog masks in the crowd because people love to grasp onto stuff. So, you know, I thought it was fun for last week. But, you know, I won't be wearing one.
Rhea Hughes.
People may want me to, Darren, but I'm not dying to wear one.
I find that hard to believe.
We're talking to Rhea Hughes, WIP in Philadelphia. And, Rhea, it is really an interesting storyline how Nick Foles has taken over, because it's unique in that he's been there before. He was there, was gone, and now he's back, and he's one game from being able to quarterback in a Super Bowl. How do you think he's handled the spotlight?
Nothing fazes him. It's, you know, when he was here before, we thought he was really boring. He would just come out and talk. Nothing has changed about him. And you talk to the players on the field, he's a really just calm, nothing ruffles his feathers. But believe me, we've all been blamed for it. We flew to L.A. for that game that weekend, you know, that Wentz went down. The feeling in this city was one of a funeral the following Monday. It's like it's all over. Everybody had thought everything was breaking right for the Eagles and they were going to have a clear path to the Super Bowl. The minute he went down, it was like they're done. And I think people forgot about the other aspects of his team, namely their defense. But I think the calmness of him is a good thing, because he's a guy who's been in Philadelphia. He's lived through it. It's not new to him what we're like up here. So I think that's a very good aspect of his personality, that he doesn't get very high or very low.
Just so you know, you weren't the only one saying that. We were saying that too.
The odds makers were saying it. It was clearly, you know, obviously, as I pointed out, being a historic underdog. I think we were all as guilty of it, you know, as anybody. You forget that this is a phenomenal defense that the Eagles have. The Eagles have a strong special team. But, you know, the quarterback is the guy. Although you look at the three of the quarterbacks not named Tom Brady, I think none of us picked them to be, you know, one game away from the Super Bowl. So it's really anybody's game. But the Eagles have a good running game. They can spread the ball around. The offensive line is terrific. You just don't want Foles to make the mistake, which he generally does not do. But you also want him – you miss that the ability of Carson Wentz to make plays with his feet is something they really miss, because Foles is not going to take off and run on anything. And he's had the opportunity. It's been the one thing I'm going, if you need to pick up four yards, Nick, you can pick them up. You are capable of getting 4 yards. That's the biggest weapon they missed, was Wentz's ability, his mobility.
Well, Rhea, you were talking about how well that Philadelphia defense is playing, and we are – really big fans of Jim Schwartz. We got to know him a little bit. He was here for a long time, as you know. And he's got to be fitting in well there, because he's got the accent from that part of the country, right? And he's but we're kind of intrigued that he hasn't really gotten the name out there again to get another shot.
Well, he did
as
first
a head coach. You started
Giants,
hearing it,
and
then you weren't
then it
hearing.
Went away.
Yeah. So what's going on there?
It was, because I remember when I was at training camp last year, I was talking to somebody with the Eagles, and I said, "Oh, you know, it's great that you got Jim Schwartz." This was before last season. And immediately turned to me and said, "Well, he won't be here after this year." Because they just absolutely immediately expected he would, because there were good pieces on this defense. Yeah, it's been weird that, you know, earlier in the season you heard it, and now it's been kind of downplayed. I can't tell you why that is. Outside of that, I think people are looking to get offensive coaches, especially if they have a young quarterback that they want to groom, so that they might not want to bring in a defensive guy, and, you know, then you got to go find the offensive guy who's going to coach your quarterback. I think that probably has more to do with it than anything else, that some owners and GMs may be looking more offensively minded to get their, you know, you look at the Giants are probably going to hire Pat Shurmur. Obviously, an offensive coordinator, has worked with McNabb, has worked with Wentz, has worked with Bradford Keenum, obviously. I just think that's the direction. I think that's hurting Jim Schwartz more than anything else because this defense has been terrific.
So what about the matchup this weekend with the Vikings? It's going to be really intriguing. I guess defensive battle with low scoring, kind of like last week?
Whenever we say that, then we see a 45-42 game
right.
Like we saw in Pittsburgh. That's what I'm expecting. I think it's going to be, it should be a low scoring game with these two defenses. I think I don't think the Eagles are huge underdogs in this game. I think it can be very close. Keenum, there were opportunities. He throws that ball up sometimes. There were opportunities I think New Orleans didn't take advantage of. What New Orleans did take advantage of, and I think the Eagles should do that offensively, you know, is going after McKenzie. Once Drew Brees figured out that was a weakness in their, you know, defensive backfield, he went after it a lot. And I expect them to, you know, the Eagles to go inside a lot more, use Nelson Aguilar. Zach Ertz is a huge weapon that the Eagles need to use a lot more. They've got it. They've got, you know, a trio of running backs that they can use. It all comes down, he's got to get the ball out of his hands. The Eagles have a terrific offensive line. Outside of Big V, Halapulavate Vatai is their weak link, and obviously you take over for Jason Peters. That's a huge loss. That's their biggest weak link. But I think otherwise the offensive line can handle the Minnesota defense. So I think it's going to be a battle. You know, you could get exactly what you got last weekend, which was 15-10. It was also in like 20-degree weather. It's going to be 50 degrees. It's going to be balmy as far as we're concerned for January in Philadelphia. So I don't think weather will be a factor at all.
Last thing, I said I would ask you this, and you alluded to him at the beginning of the interview. Andy Reid, last year in December, the Titans went there, they were down 10 at the half, and they came back and won. They were down 18 at the half this year in the playoffs in the wild card round and came back.
Darren, I want you to know that I called at halftime and said nothing would shock me if the Titans came back and win this game.
Really?
14 years of scars of Andy Reid have taught me those lessons.
Okay, here's what I said in the first segment of the show. Why do we pile on Marty Schottenheimer? Why isn't it now Andy Reid? Why don't we just call it Andy Reid? Yes.
He's one of only four coaches have blown 18-plus leads in the play, 18-point-plus leads, and two of them are held by Andy Reid?
Yes.
And I have never understood it. He is a very good coach. He can coach you great through the first scripted 15 plays, and then I don't know what happens to him. I was laughing that entire second half because none of it surprised me at all.
Yeah, I remember our conversations from the past. I did think of you when the meltdown was happening of, boy, I bet Rhea's having fun with this. Because
and I feel bad for the Kansas City fans because I remember when they hired him, I went on a couple radio stations there and I just said, very good coach, just be careful. And when those have happened the past couple of years, I get text message every once in a while. I really hate you that you were right. And I go, it's not about me being right. It's about watching somebody's career and tendencies. And with Andy Reid, I've watched it for too long. He is a good coach up until a certain point.
Yeah. Well, I know you have to go. You have to go fix Markelle Fultz's shot. So good luck with that. That's going to take some time.
I don't know. The 76ers are the strangest organization I've ever been around. I mean, nothing shocks me at this point with them. And the Fultz thing is the most bizarre thing we've ever seen, bar none. And we thought Embiid's, all his problems were weird. But the Fultz thing is an oddity.
I thought when we did our show from center court at MTSU's gymnasium last year and our producer Chase was out shooting shots, that was the weirdest shot I'd ever seen in my life. But I think Chase is better than Fultz's shot right now.
It was alarming to watch him shoot. And the fact that he's been shut down for so long, I don't know if it's physical or mental at this point.
And that's
concerning when you've made that kind of investment in a guy.
Yeah, number one pick overall. Rhea, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for doing this. Enjoy the game this weekend, and we'll talk to you down the road.
All right, Darren, you got it. Nice talking to you, Willie. Take care.
All right, that is Rhea Hughes, WIP in Philadelphia. She's been on that morning show for 20 years.
Great story about Keith Jones. Next time I see him now, I got to ask
about
him
that?
About that. Yeah.
I'm just bored.
I've already played the Flyers twice.
I'm bored.
Won't see him for a while.
Hey, can I
hang
out?
Can I hang out with you guys?
Yeah.
Works.
I got nothing better to do. Now he's been a staple. I didn't realize he'd been there that long. A part of the show.
Yeah, I didn't either. But he's been, you know, he's one of the Flyers announcers in addition to when you see him on NBC in the studio. Does a good job.
Yeah, we always enjoy when he comes on the show. We'll take a break, come back, wrap up the first hour of 3D. We do that next.